Hi, Turner. Everybody doing good this morning? One of my emails that I get, it's called Quote Mill, and this is from Oswald Chambers. Anybody ever read the Most for His Highs? He has this to say. He says, the Bible talks plentifully about joy, but it nowhere talks about a happy Christian. Now let that soak in a minute. There's a difference between joy and a happy Christian. And he goes on to say, happiness depends on what happens. Joy does not. Remember, Jesus Christ had joy, and he prays that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I just want to invite the Holy Spirit in this place, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let's invite him this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Would you fill this place? Would you fill us with your joy, God? Would it well up inside of us and it transcend our circumstances and what we're feeling and experiencing this morning? Would you just well up that joy that comes from you? Surprise us with your presence. Surprise us how you impact us this morning. We love you. Praise your holy name, that name that is above every name, Jesus. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship together.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Today we light the first candle of Advent, candle of joy.
With this candle, we remember and celebrate that the only lasting joy to be found in this life is through Christ our Lord.
Come, let us sing for joy to thee, Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Thank you. seated.
Hello, church friends. My name is Mike, and I'm a member of the Staff Parish Relations Committee. And hi, Benji. And the us as a committee, we have a privilege that we get to do once a year, and we get to represent all you precious saints, in a special presentation. In fact, Grace is going to help me with that. If you come on up here, Grace, and I'm going to hand these to you. Grace is a member of the committee also. So staff, the church wants to recognize your dedication to the Holy Spirit-inspired mission of this church to love God, love people, and offer Christ. So when I call up your name, please come up and receive your offering from our saints here that have been collected for you, and please remain. So here we go. Arliss Wright, technology, come on down. Yes. I think each one of these saints deserves a... There's some applause, right? By the way, it strikes me that this is the only time that this staff is asked to do nothing. This happens very, very rarely, right? We're asking them to just come up and just do nothing and just receive the love. How's that sound? Billy Krim, adult life pastor. And Brett Aiken, youth pastor and worship leader. Should we give him two applauses? Carlene Krim, children's pastor. And Chance Loomis, building and grounds. all right, Jamie, this is a hard lack to follow, but Jamie Adams, Mother's Day Out Director. And we do want to recognize Larry and Brenda Harner there as their faithful service. And so let's just give them a round of applause. They can hear it. Linda Higginbotham, Assistant Children's Pastor. There she is. And Miguel Varelas, college ministry. We love our college. Naomi Wood, finance. Shauna Johnson, assistant youth pastor. Oh. I have a mispronunciation. I cannot read. Your last name is?
Riley.
Congratulations, Mrs. Riley. Where was I? Shauna Riley, that's where I was. Terry Wright, administrative assistant. And Teresa Suave? Assistant Finance Angel. Was I close? Sove. I've always known her as Teresa. Come on. All right, I'm going to butcher this name. Jeff Hatcher, the Patcher. Come on up, Pastor Jeff. Hey, that was fun. I learned a few things. So the best way I can and the committee can express our gratitude is to borrow the words from Apostle Paul. So for all of you, I'm not going to name your names again. Here's a word from our Lord. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to the one God whom we serve. And thank you so much. Let's give him one more time. Yeah. Let's remain standing while we thank the Lord, okay? Let's just remain standing. Holy Father, we have seen firsthand these servants' labor of love, and we recognize there is so much more that we do not see. Thank you. Thank you for these servants before us who were called by your name and who answered your call. Thank you, Lord, for their hearts, for their actions, for their willingness to model their lives and their service to the Wiley Methodist Church like your son Jesus taught us. Thank you for their internal impact they've had on this community of believers. Just thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Children, if you'll come forward for the children's sermon.
Jingle bells this time of year, so I made sure to fit it into my lesson today. All right. My first question to you today is, who are the people you have to obey? God? Parents?
Teachers?
Your family? Jesus? All those are... Did you have another one? Okay. All those are very, very good ones. And when you're here, you even have to listen to me, right? So I am going to give you some instructions, and you're going to try to obey if you are able, okay? All right. Raise your hand. Who can make? That's good. I only have one person who obeys around here, huh? I'm feeling bad for the parents already. All right. No. All right, blink your eyes three times. One, two, three. Good. How about wiggle your nose without moving your face?
I can do it.
You can? You got it. You see, I'm not so good. It is hard. That's a hard one to obey. All right, my last one, kiss your elbow.
Oh, that's hard.
I can't do it. All right. The whole idea here is that some things we find pretty easy to obey. We know we can do them. We know we can raise our hand. We know we can blink. Those are easy things to obey and do if you're told to do them. Some get harder, like trying to move your nose, and I can't do it. But maybe if I practice, because I've seen other people do it, but I can't. And then, like, kissing my elbow, that sounds impossible. Oh, I know. I skipped over one. I was going to have you also clap your hand using one hand. Yeah. You can kind of do it, but it's kind of hard. But anyways, some things you can know you can do easily. Some things you think if you work at, you can do it. And some just sound impossible. You can't do it. So today, I want to talk about a young woman who was surprised by an angel. And she was asked to do something that seemed impossible to do. And as Ali already said, Mary's going to be my focus today. So Mary was asked by an angel, was told by an angel, that she was going to become pregnant and that the Father was going to be God. And she's like, whoa, how is that going to happen? And she was told, well, God will come over you and then you will have God's child. And she's like, okay, I will do that because God has told me to. So she immediately obeyed, even though what she was asked to do seemed impossible because she wasn't even married yet. All right? So we need to think about that. Mary was able to do it because she did get pregnant and she did have baby Jesus in her and named the baby Jesus as she was told to do. So she obeyed even though it was considered impossible. Another thing she did that I thought I would tell you about is she sang a song. Did you know that? Sang a song. Yeah, that's another surprise for you. Let me tell you how that happened. She went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was already with child. And the baby, when the baby heard Mary's voice, jumped in Elizabeth's belly. And Elizabeth said to her, and I'm going to read that right out of the Bible, right out of Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. So she was blessed because she believed the promise of God. She had faith and she trusted that if God said it would happen, it would happen. Did she know how? Nope. Did she think she could do it? She knew she couldn't do it on her own. She had faith and she believed and she obeyed. And then she replied with what we call Mary's song. And it's like 9 verses long, but I'm just going to read the first 4. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So she went off and she started praising the Lord and singing songs and telling how wonderful God is. And do you know, this is exactly what you can do. God wants to use all of you to do impossible things. He wants to come to you. He wants to further his kingdom through you. And you're going to think, that's impossible. I can't do that. But with God, having faith in God, trusting in God, obeying God, then you pray and you glorify his name and sing his praises, and that's how you do it. You let God do the work. God will make it happen. He will do impossible things through you, just like he did an impossible thing through Mary. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. We believe he is our Savior, and we trust you to work in our lives. Thank you for making the impossible things possible. Help us to believe, obey, and sing your praise. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good to have you worshiping with us. For those of you worshiping online, God bless you. Good to have you with us as well. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through the app. We got a few events coming up. I want to touch on just real briefly. Our children's Christmas workshop is this afternoon from 2 to 4. I think we have 112 children registered, and we have 100 plus adults that are helping make that happen. So if you would like for your child to come or your grandchild to come and have not had the opportunity to register them. Just show up maybe 15 minutes early, and we'd love to plug those children in somewhere. The Christmas caroling event, this tour that Deborah Davis is organizing, is this Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you would like to be involved in that, there's a sign-up sheet by this exit door as you go out. And that's from 6 to 8 p.m. this Tuesday night. Our Christmas Eve service is 5:30 on Christmas Eve. And then on the 29th and January the 5th, there will be no Sunday school or early service. There'll just be one late service that day. And then our normal schedule will resume on January the 12th. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, church, for your love and generosity that you have shown the staff. You know, we had an opportunity to honor Larry and Brenda Harner this morning during the early service. They attend that service, and Larry and Brenda have been providing meals for us for 98 years. I don't know, it's been a long time. and they've never failed to provide a good meal, and there's always enough food. It's just amazing. Loaves and fishes, I tell you, when they get their hands on the food. Anyway, they're needing to step down from that position. And so that'll be effective January 1. And so if you run into Larry and Brenda, just tell them a big old thank you and for all they've done for us through the years. Also, during the early service, we prayed for Dave and Barbara Roberts. They are relocating to Stillwater, Oklahoma. And today was Barbara's last Sunday with us, and Dave is a CPA, and so he will remain here in Abilene through the tax season. So we'll have to put up with him for another 6 months or so. You know, Barbara's been very instrumental in our prayer ministry for the last 10 or 12 years, and Dave works on our security team. Just a faithful, faithful. You know, when you love, it's hard. It's hard. So we love this couple, and we prayed blessings over them as they move on to the next chapter of their life. So this morning, as we pray, I don't know if you're needing God to do something impossible that Teresa talked about this morning, and I think Larry Young had a good word for us as they prayed for us back in the corner this morning, prayed for the prayer team, that miracles are available for us. God is a miracle-working God. And so, I don't know, I just want to pray in that arena this morning, and if you're trusting the Lord for something, you need a touch from the Lord for something, just go after it this morning as I pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Father, you are the God of the impossible, which means that you make a way when there seems to be no way. You have a great track record as we look back through Scripture of just doing things that just astound the human mind. And Father, I'm almost certain that there are a number of needs here this morning that people are trusting you for finances, trusting you for good health, trusting you for relationships, maybe trusting you for employment. And Father, it may seem like there's no way for this to happen, or they may be in situations where it seems like there's no way out. God, I just pray that you intervene for your glory. I pray that your perfect will is done on earth as it is in heaven in the lives of these that are trusting you for certain things. You are a miracle working God. I just think about the miracle of the sun coming up every day and the earth rotating and the sun going down because the earth is rotating and the changes of seasons. Man can't do that. You are a God of the impossible. And you are a miracle worker. And I believe, as our brother Larry said, the miracles are available this morning. Need to reach out and latch on to what you have for us. Father, I thank you for opportunities to worship you. I thank you for opportunities to glorify your holy name. And Lord, as we continue to do that through song, Lord, I just pray that maybe something supernatural happens here. You inhabit the praises of your people. You rest there. So Lord, you're more than welcome to come and rest and dwell. I pray you bless our pastor as he shares the word, as he speaks about joy. And if people are lacking joy this morning, I pray that it just flat erupts in their hearts. Pray for the miracle of joy to break through. Oh, we love you and praise you. You're such a kind and loving and awesome Father. We pray the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you, we'll have several people available for prayer after the service. If you need prayer, please take advantage of that. Also, church, again, thank you for your faithfulness in your tithes and offerings and your gifts. Offering boxes are by the doors, and instructions are on the screen.
We're not
want to kind of echo what Billy mentioned earlier. Just thank you for loving us as a staff. We love you back, and it is a real honor to be a part of this church. You're a great church. You guys are so awesome, and we are grateful for you. So thank you for recognizing us and praying over us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are really glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of God's people, the Holy Spirit in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, and it says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service. Would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. I read a little bit of this out of this chapter last week, but we're going to read a little bit more. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Let me read that again. Okay, there we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, as I'm reading this, I want you to picture Paul in a cold, wet, dark dungeon, prison, writing this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's the payoff. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, Paul says. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know you're here, and we welcome you. So, Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you speak? Empower and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 2, the angel, it's recorded, the angel said to the shepherds these words, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord." So the angel brought this good news of Jesus' birth, and that's the good news of great joy is that Jesus is here. That's it. The ushers would come forward. We'll close the service now. That's it. That's the good news. Whatever you're going through in your life, the good news of great joy is Jesus is here. So we continue the sermon series, this Advent series, God with us. Today's message is Got Joy. So I ran across a few slides here I wanted to show you that just examples of joy that bring a smile to my face. Just looking at a image can bring a smile to your face. Go ahead and throw that first one up there, Lee. Now somebody, you kind of focus on his smile, but somebody said in the early service that his nose is the shape of a heart. I don't know. Okay. I never had noticed that. Go ahead and throw that next one up there. Aren't babies awesome? Babies are awesome until they poop their diaper or cry or something. And then, go ahead and throw that next one. Now, I'm just sitting there thinking about what mama has to clean that up when that little baby's done and the dog's done. And then, this one really brings joy to your face. Go ahead, throw that next one there. You've heard me talk about freeze-dried Christians. That's him right there. That's him. So, and go ahead and throw that next. What? Okay. So, you ever gotten a greeting, Jesus loves you, from somebody with a face like that? And probably, I guess even more than that, have you ever been the one with a face like that trying to convey that Jesus loves somebody? Are we joyful with all our heart, church? Or are we hardly ever joyful? I think we can all, I know I can confess that there are moments, you know, that we get tired or we don't feel good or we're frustrated or whatever the case may be, and we can look more like that last picture than we would really want anybody to know. There's joy, the joy of the Lord that the angel proclaimed, I'm bringing you good news of great joy, not in circumstances, but in Jesus, in a person. I ran across a video of a man, his name is Jack Rushton. And Jack, in 1989, he was body surfing on the coast, and a big wave picked him up and slammed him against a rock, and he broke his neck, and he said, I knew my neck was broken, and he became a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And I ran across this video of him, and you would think that someone who was dealt that sort of a hand would turn into just a bitter old guy. Yes? Very possibly could just become very bitter at life. Let's see how Jack handles this. Go ahead, Lee.
You know, all my life, I wanted to be able to do one thing better than anybody else and was very unsuccessful. And then I had my accident and I thought, you know, maybe I can be the best quadriplegic on a respirator that ever lived. And then, wouldn't you know it, Christopher Reeve goes out and breaks his neck. And I'm in competition with Superman. I worry a little bit about how I'm going to be perceived by others when... especially when I go out in public. I like to wear a ball hat almost everywhere I go because my head's very sensitive, but Joanne will hardly ever let me do it. She says it makes me look too conspicuous. I certainly wouldn't want to look conspicuous. The other day, we went to this elementary school. And as we were leaving, we were going through the playground. And on our way to the parking lot, a group of five-year-olds were having recess. And they saw me in this wheelchair. And they just came and surrounded me. Five-year-olds are the greatest. They are so open. I guess we could all learn a big lesson from little children about how to react to people that have a little bit of a physical problem. But they surrounded me and they were saying, hey, mister, what happened to you? What's that hose hanging out of your neck? How does this chair work? And what is this all about? And there was this little kid that was kind of hanging around the edge, and I knew that he wanted to ask me something, and he just couldn't quite get his courage up, and finally he got up real close to me, and he looked me right in the eyes, and he said, "Hey, mister, what happened to your face?" And I thought, my face? I thought it was the only part of me that even halfway worked. And I tried to run over the kid. You know, even though my health is very good, Joanne still insists on taking me to the doctor every once in a while for a checkup. And so we go, and they do blood work, and the nurse gets the needle ready to take my blood, and I always ask her, is this going to hurt? She pats me on the arm and says, well, it'll probably sting just a little bit. Well, as they get done examining me, and they usually tell Joanne, well, Mrs. Rushton, bring him back in 6 months or 6,000 miles, whichever comes first.
The joy of the Lord is beyond our circumstances. It's something in here that the Lord places in us. So we're going to talk just briefly here. We're going to talk a little bit about the secret of great joy, this God's joy. First of all, the secret of great joy is to praise God sacrificially. You think Jack Rushton was praising God sacrificially? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Again, written from prison. Hebrews 13 says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. So meaning that praise and joy, it's not always going to be based on our circumstances, but it's something that we give sacrificially. We praise God sacrificially, and that results in great joy. I was reminded last week that it is impossible to praise God and be sad at the same time. Did you know that? I mean, if we're struggling with depression or anxiety or just being down, try praising God. See if that doesn't lift your spirits. And I can tell you that those two things cannot exist at the exact same moment. The secret of great joy is to praise God sacrificially. Secondly, the secret of great joy is to replace worry with prayer and thanksgiving. Now, I know that no one in the service this morning worries. I understand that, so we'll just talk hypothetically, okay? Is this on? That was a joke. Do not be anxious about anything, verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request request to God. So he's saying when we are anxious, when we worry, that if we will substitute prayer with thanksgiving, things change. That's when joy, great joy, can come back in our lives. First Peter, cast all your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. It's hard, church, it's hard to be content when we're worried and anxious about every little thing. I don't often whip out the Greek on you, but here's another Greek word for you. Wallow. Anybody wallow? Am I the only one that ever wallows? We focus so much on our circumstances, and we just kind of wallow in that. And the Lord is telling us to cast those things off, to set those things aside. Don't be anxious, but replace it with prayer, with thanksgiving, and things will change. The secret of great joy, the third thing, is godly thinking, godly thinking. You know, we've talked some about this, but the enemy, this is the enemy's playground right here. This is his workshop. And he plants thoughts that we are worthless, we're nobody likes us, you'll never be able to do that, you'll always. We get those words. And those are the thoughts from the enemy. But God's word says, hey, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think about those things. And things change. 2 Corinthians says to us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So when those thoughts that come, and I promise you, every one of us has had those thoughts planted in our mind that are from the enemy, trying to convince us of things that are not true and noble and right and pure and so on. And God's word says to take those thoughts captive and make it obedient to Christ. How do you do that? Well, for me, I call on the name of Jesus. I've learned, and I'm still learning, but I've learned more and more that when I have those thoughts in my mind, you take it captive by saying, in the name of Jesus, I reject that thought. Larry preached a wonderful sermon last year. Jesus, the power of that name, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, I take that thought captive and I cast it away. And so if we take those thoughts captive and make it obedient to Christ, we want to dwell on the things that are true and noble and right and so forth. Joy, church, is the result of habitually doing, saying, thinking the right things. What's the right things? It starts right here. What God has to say to us. Sadness is the result, or depression is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the wrong things, the things that the enemy would plant in our mind. Paul said we should think about what is true. So there's all sorts of things in God's word that he tells us that are true. I'm going to hit three of them very quickly here. First of all, I know that God loves me. I know that's true. I know that he loves you. You need to know that he loves you. And it's beyond our circumstances. Do you think Jack Rushton knew that God loved him? Even though he'd been dealt this difficult hand in his life? We know that God loves us because Jesus came. He came, he died a sacrificial death to restore you and I to the Father. We know what love is because Jesus laid down his life for us. It's settled. It's no longer up for debate that Jesus loves us because he's proven it through his son Jesus. We also know to be true that I know that God is with me. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, God's word says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He loves me so much that, and he is with me so much, and you, that he sent his Holy Spirit to not only be with us, but to live in us. Man, I don't think I fully grasp that. If we could grab hold of the fact that the God of the universe resides in us, if we could really grab hold of that, what kind of doors would that open in our lives? The way we think, the way we feel, the way we behave. And then finally, I know it to be true that God wants good things for me. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He wants good things for us. And I was telling the early service, I told the story last week about Cheryl and the girls being in a car wreck when I was at Duke, at seminary. And there is a man, if you didn't hear that story, go online and listen to last week's sermon. I tell the whole story. But there is a man with Jesus for all eternity because of a car accident. Well, how many of you ever thought about a car accident being a good thing? I'd have 100, 1,000 car accidents if it meant every time someone could be with Jesus for all eternity. God wants good things for us, even in the midst of the trials of this life. I know that to be true. And then finally, great joy results in God's incomprehensible peace and strength. God's word, the peace of God. We set our minds on all these things, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and I'm going to add circumstances in there, transcends all understanding and circumstances, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we trust the Lord, when we lean on Him, we have great joy and we have peace and we have strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord. So think about that for just a moment. I'm gonna play a shorter clip of Jack Rushton as he is coming to the end of this presentation. That, by the way, you didn't see it, or you don't know which one it is, but I realized that they keep zooming in on the lady as he tells one of the jokes about his wife. That's his wife that's in the audience, which is really awesome and remarkable. But listen to these last words that Jack Rushton had to share to this group.
I was on a talk radio show a couple of years after the accident, and the moderator said, "Jack, what brings you the most peace? To believe that God brought the wave that broke your neck, or to believe that it was just an accident?" And I said, "You know, I probably haven't spent 5 minutes thinking about that question. I simply do not know why these things happen, and it matters little to me. I don't know why people get cancer and little children die and all of the tragedies man's inhumanity to man on this earth. I don't know why a lot of these things happen, but I know only one thing for sure. There is a loving, kind God, a Heavenly Father that cares about us as individuals. And with His help and His power, we can cope with any situation that life may bring to us. We can overcome our challenges and our problems with His help. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that the burden of paralysis literally has been taken from my shoulders, that I do not even feel it. And I'm so grateful for that. And this is the one thing I know. I thank you all so much for coming tonight.
The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, the rest of that story, I know that Jack Rushton went to be with you on Christmas Day in 2012. He doesn't have a broken neck anymore. He's not paralyzed anymore. And you love him. I thank you for the testimony that he gave with his extraordinary life. Father, would you teach us to cling to the truth that the angel spoke to the shepherds. Good news of great joy that Christ, our Savior, has been born. He lives to this day. He will live forevermore. Thank you that you come and you've lived in our heart, through your Spirit. Would you exude and would you well up your joy in us through all circumstances? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about, please don't leave this place today. He loves you. He knows you. He wants a relationship with you. If you'll rise, if you're able, the altar is always open. There will be prayers after the service as we close.
Joy to the world.
Repeat good news of great joy for you. The Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Joy to the world.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.